what's unfolding at OR Tambo. 1.5 million rand is what airlines are reportedly spending per flight as planes are diverted from OR Tambo International Airport as a result of a jet fuel shortage. International operators are flying empty planes to places like Durban to refuel, returning to OR Tambo to pick up passengers. That means extra fuel, lost time. You can do the maths. How soon before international airlines find alternatives to the largest airport on the continent? To talk us through this, firstly, we're joined by Desmond Latham, who is, of course, an aviation expert and the CEO at Frey Intermedia. Desmond, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time. There was a joint press briefing last week, and you could call it an industry show of force, from BASA to the Central Energy Fund to the Department of Transport, AXA, all saying, actually, supply is stable. Did you buy it?
Yeah, I mean, if you've done your planning ahead, then supply, you could look at it from the space point of view and some of the supply point of view, that it is stable. But, I mean, the whole system itself is unstable, and they need to deal with it. I mean, there have been a number of kind of perfect storms, if I can use that phrase, which is oft over you. But in this case, it involves a real storm. So KZN's floods damaged Transnet. And fuel for Jet A1, it's called, comes by rail, most of it. And with the damage to infrastructure caused by the flood, that caused the problem. But secondly, infrastructure was already fading. As you know, Transnet is in dire straits, to put it mildly. And that combination has created a problem for suppliers. Thirdly, there is a fluctuation in the business. And the private companies supply the fuel to the airports, not the government, not the state. The state supplies the system, and then the people trade on top of the system. And what has happened is some of the airlines have just been better at hedging and buying ahead than others.
All right. I thought you had a little bit more to come after that. Look, at least one airline... Desmond, but at least one airline has applied to deviate from the OR Tambo route if it has to refuel in places like Cape Town, for example.
Yeah, so for instance, United has had a problem. And in fact, a few weeks ago, United's one of the flights had just cancelled because of a lack of fuel. So any airline that's flying more than one flight a day, especially internationally, hasn't managed its purchase ahead through May, is having problems. So Lufthansa, for example, and Swiss International have had their challenges over the last few weeks. Whereas BA, Air France, KLM, Delta, Emirates, Qatar, and Ethiopian have handled things, it looks like, a lot better. So they just planned their fuel purchasing. So yes, it is the crisis has not ended. Things are looking stable because the airlines have made their decisions to spend extra money. They're running at a loss, as you say, in some of these flights. They also don't forget the crew. They have to send separate crew. And Lufthansa, for example, has had to arrange crew to Durban and back to ORT constantly. That's an extra cost. You know, pilots are not cheap. So you can see that the knock-on effect is going to continue for weeks, if not months, I feel.
Look, AXA is not in the business of trading fuel. I mean, can we lay the blame at their door?
Look, you've got to look at the state-owned entities as a whole and see them as part of a picture. And that's not a very pretty picture. So we've had the problems with Eskom, we had problems with Transnet. I don't want to bore you, but Portnet, etc. There are big problems with our infrastructure. The planning, the management of infrastructure is not at the standard that we expect as a country with, as you say, you know, the largest airport, and not to mention one of the largest economies on the continent. So it's not satisfactory. It's not acceptable. And there's just been a lack of capacity and ability to deal with this up to now. And, of course, COVID in the middle of this process has damaged things, because what happens is these traders trade ahead. They buy, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of fuel ahead. And then the stock level needs to be managed based on the cost and the revenue incoming and so on. So they don't like to hold high levels of stock. And with things being so inconsistent in terms of demand because of COVID et al., there's been some of the airlines have just not been able to manage that side of it as effectively as others. So as I said, you can't just say that it's, you know, AXA and it's all's fault. But I mean, at this weekend, you need to know something else. The ATNS, which is the aviation navigation system, announced suddenly on the 13th that there would be no high-level management. So pilots just had to manage themselves. Basically, what that means is all airlines flying over South Africa suddenly had to talk to each other and there was no air traffic control for that. So it became uncontrolled airspace. That's what happens when you fly over really poor countries that don't have the capacity to do that. So you can see a picture I'm trying to describe here. It's a much bigger picture than just saying AXA and Portnoy doing this. I'm saying that our infrastructure planning and the ATNS system is the first time that's happened for a long time. If we didn't have anyone to manage the airlines flying through our space at high level, and we converted into what's called G-controlled space, which is uncontrolled. So we had to talk to each other to fly through that, which is very dangerous.
That sounds frightening. I mean, what does this mean in terms of the long-term reputation of OR Tambo, or even, I suppose, South Africa itself as a gateway to the continent?
Now, RTU's had some other structural problems, as we know, and it's caused partly by the pandemic and also partly by poor management in Gauteng. So we've had situations developing where some of the system of moving around the airport has been affected by this. So it's kind of looking slightly dilapidated. The fact that we're at the southern tip of Africa has not helped. The other airlines, such as Ethiopian, are making money off the east-west flight trade, India into Ethiopia, into Dar-es, into Addis Ababa, and then, north to Doha, out to London and so on. We can't do that. We're stuck to the southern end of Africa. So we have to get flights to here that extend to where they go to, for example, places like Australia. So the fact that our tax rates on the airports is very, very high. We're one of the highest in the world cost-wise per landing fees for airlines and so on, and the parking space fees and the apron fees. This is just not a satisfactory situation. There seems to be an understanding that this is like a money-making enterprise by some people, and it's not. We have to get much, much tighter with our management and our cost management and so on, and we have to sharpen pencils here. So you can see that structurally we have some major headwinds facing us at the moment in aviation.
Big concerns there. Desmond Latham, appreciate your time. Aviation expert and CEO at Frey Intermedia. Listening to that is, of course, Terence Delomani, who is the Group Executive for Operations Management at the Airports Company, South Africa.
702. Right of reply.
Terence, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for being with us. Just broadly, perhaps, let me give you an opportunity to respond to some of the concerns Desmond has been raising there. Listening to him, any South African would be concerned.
Good morning, Bongani, and thank you for having me on. Yes, unfortunately, I couldn't hear Desmond too clearly, but I just want to speak about the situation that we're actually having at the moment. And I did pick up the points he was making around the reason why we actually in this position is due to the recent floods that we've had at in KZN, which meant that the normal fuel supply to rail from the coast through to the airport has not been able to happen. So we're actually now more reliant on the pipeline fuel that comes in from the Natref refinery. So this issue is really related to the logistics of getting the fuel up to OR Tambo at a time when we are reliant on rail. And I think, you did mention issues around infrastructure, and I think that really is something that, that's actually concerning. However, in the last 3 weeks, we've really, as an industry, and in fact broader than the aviation industry, dealing with the logistics service providers, being Transnet Freight Rail, Transnet Pipelines, looking at mechanisms to improve the situation. So Transnet has indicated that the rail line or part of the rail line will be repaired by the 9th of June. So we're sitting now about 3 weeks away from that. So we're looking forward to that date. And the rail line will be completely repaired by October. So which means then the normal supply of fuel from the coast will be reinstated. In the meantime, there's been a bit of additional fuel coming through from Natref, from the Natref refinery. But I think the biggest contingency that was made is there's a huge slug of fuel that's coming through on the pipeline from KZN. And that's already in the pipeline.
Yeah.
And we're looking to have it in our fuel tanks in the next week and a half or so. And I think that will alleviate the problem until the rail is sorted out.
Look, it is concerning, Terence, that airlines are already making alternative arrangements. I mean, this idea of planes flying to Durban, empty planes, having to organize additional crew members, as was outlined. The problem, of course, to be fair to AXA, is bigger than you. Structurally, the whole system that underpins the jet fuel value chain is weak.
Exactly. So you know, the value chain on fuel is pretty complex. So at AXA, we provide the storage facilities, the interplane facilities, so the fuel hydrant system at the airport. We have an operator then that operates the system, and yes, the reliance is really on the throughputters, and the throughputters are the oil companies that actually have contracts directly with the airlines to supply the fuel to the airlines as per their contracts. And when you have a situation like this where certain of the companies are reliant on getting that fuel from the coast, and your supply chain then is cut, it's certainly going to be a problem. So there needs to be a lot more collaboration even amongst the oil companies themselves, so to look at how do they share stock that is available during a crisis like this.
We've already had flights cancelled. We are seeing these diversions, as I was saying a little earlier on. There was that show of force at that press briefing last week to assure the public that, you know, the situation is under control. A cynic might look at it and say, hang on, we're sugarcoating the extent of this and closing ranks, when in fact there are very serious implications here.
No, I think, you know, one has to look at this in the broader context. So, and we cannot undermine any single airline that's having a problem is certainly an issue. But if I just look at the steps, you know, for the last 3 weeks, I'll give an example. We've done over 1,300 international air traffic movements. Of that, there were 14 flights that were cancelled. At this point in time, the domestic airlines don't really have an issue with the fuel. So I think one has to look at the bigger picture, but we're not taking away the actual challenges that individual airlines are facing. Again, it's not all of the international airlines. It's those that have fuel supply contracts with the suppliers that bring in fuel from the coast. So certainly it is a concern, and I think the show of force was not nearly just a show of force, but they're coming together of all the parties in the value chain to find a solution for this. And yes, you know, we're really looking forward to the next 2 weeks or so when we get that fuel slug up from the coast. And I think that will resolve that problem. But certainly moving forward, there are bigger issues at play. Talking about long-term fuel supply.
Right. Terence, here's one suggestion, here's one thought. Why not waive some of the extra landing and handling costs, you know, that come now with having to go to two airports to deal with this?
So, Bongani, you know, our costs, you know, our revenues are derived from aeronautical revenues. The aeronautical revenues, which are the landing fees, the passenger service charges, and the aircraft parking charges, are regulated. So they're stipulated by law. The law does not make any provision for waiving of charges. And I think that's an important point to understand. We can't simply just waive charges. In any event, you know, airlines do make technical stops. I understand this situation now is requiring more of those technical stops than previously. But these are costs that are incurred by airlines.
Is the Department of Transport sufficiently agile in this kind of crisis?
I would think so. You know, we go through a process of calculating those charges through a regulatory process. And in any event, the Department of Transport is also able to provide the relevant permits to airlines that need to divert to Durban, for example, to refuel. So they've been pretty quick in doing that. Obviously, we've also been facilitating that. I think there's possible opportunities that can be looked at for airlines. For example, Durban is quite a growing market. You know, do we use the opportunity in the meantime to look at how do we move passengers through Durban as well, in addition to the tech stops? So I think there are possible opportunities that one could look at. Obviously, they do have other implications, but I think all parties have really tried now to resolve this. And as I indicated, you know, the interventions that we put in place should have this matter resolved within the next week or so.
Terence Dalomani, appreciate your time. Group Executive Operations Management at the Airports Company South Africa. We hope that there will be some resolution, but I think there's a greater story here in terms of how all of this is structured. If we don't, the implications will be significant. You can think of anything from reduced numbers that will affect business and leisure travel, bye-bye tourism. Think about cargo. Think about what that means as far as ratings agencies for AXA and for the country. It needs to be sorted.